This morning, I want you to imagine if this story about the death, crucifixion of Jesus has happened during this time, you know, in the world of today, where there is full coverage of media and where the news spread fast all over the globe. Different media will have or will write different story or different versions of the same story, and according to their own perspective as well. And I want you to imagine the heaviness of being at the top of the media. And I want to assume and imagine if there was all these different media that we have today, like CNN, NBC 10 Boston, Fox. I just want to give the headlines which some of these media would say. I'm not saying they did that, but what would they would say on a day like this? CNN will say, he proclaimed himself king. And NBC 10 Boston will say, the power of the great man lies in the grave. And our own Fox News will say, oh, what a liar of our time. And I also want you to imagine, what about the comments on the Facebook, Twitter, and Google? And let alone the video clips on YouTube showing him suffering and not able to help himself. But today, this is a post-Easter. We are still in the Easter period, but this is post-Easter Sunday that we have. And the story that we are reading happened just after 3 days. Jesus has resurrected. And this morning, I want to share with you on the theme I will call a journey of despair and to a journey of hope. We are in a period of celebration. The time of Easter is the time of celebration, the resurrection of Christ. But this is also the time that we are confronted with the COVID-19, which has taken so many lives in the world and also here in Massachusetts, in Boston, and different places in our own state. And indeed, it is a journey of despair, but a journey that is being transferred or transformed into a journey of hope because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So Jesus is risen in the community, and Jesus has already shown himself to some of the disciples, including some of the women. But here's the thing. There were the local leaders at this time, local leaders, and both religious and political leaders. They connived for Jesus. They connived with the Roman government for Jesus to be crucified. And this was very disappointing. And this is why we see Clopas and his friend. But let me highlight something. For all along, I was just thinking like Clopas was walking with his friend, you know. But I begin to think something like, what if Clopas was walking with his wife? We are not told. Maybe Clopas was moving or was walking with his wife side by side, going to Emmaus. But we'll get there. So this was a disappointing story that Jesus He has been crucified. Jesus has done so many things in the past. He has done healing miracles. He has fed thousands of people. He has done so many things. And what people have been expecting when Jesus was hanging on the cross is that Jesus will miraculously save himself from the cross. But instead, he did not do that. He didn't. In fact, today is the third day. The third day, but we cannot find him. We don't know where he is. And this was very disappointing for some of these disciples. And he has been buried. And let alone when the women visit, they could not find him. This is very disappointing for such a great man that he can die that kind of death. So instead, for Clopas and his friend, if you want, you can say for Clopas and his wife, to stay in Jerusalem, anticipating for the great things to come. Clopas and his friend embarked on a journey of disappointment. A journey of a disappointment back to Emmaus. They are talking and sharing their disappointment. But they are also angry. You can hear when Jesus asked them that they were, what kind of a person who doesn't know what has happened? A local story. What kind of a man are you? What kind of a person are you? So they are angry. They are disappointed. They are sad. It's so clear. It's so vivid. It's so authentic. The story is a local story. But here's the thing. And this is where Jesus comes in to transform the journey of despair into a journey of hope and celebration. And I want to highlight something. This day starts early in the morning with the women to the tomb. And later the women have astounded the others by relating the empty tomb and a vision of the angels. The men went to verify the empty tomb. Jesus is not there. Sometime that day, the two disciples, then Emmaus and his friend, embarked on it. My friends, we are walking down this path paved with disappointment. Everybody is on a journey. And everybody, every day, we embark on a journey. But sometimes we don't recognize that we are on a journey. But I just want to pose a question to you. What kind of journey are you on? What direction is it taking you? Are you moving in the direction of liberation from destructive habits and debilitating anxiety towards peace, life, and joy? For Luke, Jerusalem is very primary. If you read the Gospel of Luke entirely, Jerusalem is a primary geographic setting of this story. We can say almost two-thirds of the Gospel of Luke's Gospel is spent with Jesus in and around Jerusalem. Although we find our travelers in the Emmaus episode walking away from Jerusalem. But there's something here. The scripture is very specific in mentioning that Emmaus was 7 miles away from Jerusalem. I want you to picture this direction. By the way, Jerusalem was a city very central in Luke. And Luke will call Jerusalem as the citadel of power. the axis mundi, the center of the universe. Very critical. So you'd expect Clopas and his friend to be in a place where there is the center of power. But alas, Clopas and his friend, they are walking 7 miles away from Jerusalem. In other words, you can say 7 miles away from the citadel of power. They are going to Emmaus, 7 miles away. My friends, we see the two disciples with their face down on the path of despair. Their conventional hope of a Messiah who would liberate their people from subjection had no place for a Messiah who would suffer and die. And above all, on the cross, such a humiliating way of suffering and dying. But let me tell you something this morning. With Jesus' death, they have lost their faith and their hope. They are not looking for him. Rather, they are going back home to their places. And in fact, they did not even recognize him when he joins them. But here, he chooses the place of loss to meet them. When he asks about their sorrow, they are so absorbed in their grief. You can hear they went on to narrate their grief to Jesus. So absorbed in that grief that they cannot believe that the person doesn't know about their experience. They tell Jesus the story of his ministry and death, and add also the dubious news about his resurrection. For them, the story is over. Their hopes have been proven empty, and they are defeated. But now, they are joined by a traveling companion. Jesus is walking side by side with them, Jesus is walking along with them. He places their sad journey in a new frame. The journey of Messiah mapped out in the scripture. But how did Jesus do this? I want you to bring the whole narrative. How did Jesus try to make sense of this whole story to these two guys? Number one, Jesus joined the journey. And this is how God transforms our desperation, our fears, our confusion, our anxieties into hope. God comes concretely and becomes part and parcel of our local story, our local concerns. Along the journey, he began asking questions. What's going on here? He's asking. In Jesus Christ, God became an ordinary, and he became local. He became ordinary. He anticipated in the ordinary life. My friends, I've got the good news for you this morning. We have a friend in Jesus. A friend who is not like any one of us. Because we, the human beings, we break our promises. Jesus kept the promise. A friend who carries our burdens. A friend who does not count on our betrayal of him. He understands the struggles that we are facing. He shows up when things are hopeless. He shows up because he cares and because he loves us. And the second thing, he lifts up this local story into a universal story. He takes this local experience and connects it with in a very special way with the promises of God's word in light of God's greater purpose to humanity. Jesus goes back to the scripture from Moses to show that what is going to happen to the Messiah, and all this, he does so to awaken their faith. And hear what Jesus said. Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. So what God promised is so powerful in itself. When we connect with God's word with faith, God accomplished that which he had purposed for us. That we are able to look beyond the horizons of our current limitations. We can look beyond and very far to where God is leading us. God is saying, your local experiences, your local fears, your present experience are not the final word. The final word is the bigger plan of salvation that God has for you and the rest of the world. And he invites us all to participate in that invitation. And it happens when we connect with the promises of God interpreted with our own experiences in view of the bigger plan that God has for humanity. Number three, to transfer the desperation into the sense of hope, Jesus joined them into a fellowship. He joins them on a journey. He disclosed himself through the scripture, and now he joins them in a fellowship. Remember, the disciples were talking about what had just happened, a disappointed fellowship in Jerusalem. That they embarked on a disappointed journey, and they were going to have a disappointed fellowship. But in the midst of the breaking of bread, Jesus discloses who he is. And he put them in a different motion altogether. This is how God transforms our despair into hope. When we participate and partake with him in the fellowship of bread and wine, his body and blood. We can also show or do the fellowship in a genuine breaking bread together and with one another. In that, it shows that death does not have the last word. Because this is the instruction. When you eat and drink, do this in remembrance of me. And in the remembrance that I will come again. So in the body and blood of Jesus Christ, we are confronted with this defiance of life against death. In the body and blood of Jesus, we are reminded that death is not going to have the last word. In other words, our situation right now, as we find ourselves in the midst of this pandemic and the anxieties which we have about our national economy, in the fears of what is going to happen after the present experience, Jesus is saying, I join you in your journey of desperation, of fear. Believe in my word, and I will be in your midst forever in a fellowship. And this is the call of resurrection, my friends. The resurrection morning is not to move away from Jerusalem to Emmaus, but it is a call to another journey. I want you to see that, a reverse of the journey. Now the resurrection morning, Jesus is saying, you need to move from Emmaus back to Jerusalem It's a total reverse of this journey. In other words, Jesus transforms our experience, our present experience, and they transform it in a different direction altogether. You know, darkness might be there in the night, but light is coming in the morning. From Emmaus to Jerusalem. I want you to imagine now the discussion, the conversation between these two guys on their way back to Jerusalem. It's full of joy. It's full of celebration. It was no longer a conversation of despair, but of celebration. My friends, this morning, may we join in this conversation as we proclaim that the Lord is risen. Let's join in the conversation that Jesus is resurrected. Let's join in the conversation that indeed we have seen the Lord. Let's join in the conversation that death has no last word. Let's join in the conversation that in him and through him, we will be victorious. Let's join in the songs and sounds of praise to him, because he has conquered death. He has shown himself. He has identified himself in the community. He has shown his scars. He is risen. And indeed, Christ is risen. And Christ bestows on us. He gives us this gift of hope so that we can share with the rest of the world that Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen.